This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Welcome along to Betting Weekly Extra Time International Edition. Euro 2024 qualifying playoffs take center stage this midweek, with the focus on countries rather than clubs at stake, a place in the summer tournament staged in Germany. Six semi-finals on Thursday, three finals next week to determine the final three nations that will make up Euro 2024. There is also some prestige friendlies for bettors to get stuck into, and there's potentially some value in the CONCACAF Copa America playoff, which Steve has somehow managed to spot. You're with myself, Dan Robert, while senior handicapper Steve Wiss is alongside me, as is Spanish football journalist Rory Barlow. Steve, some big games for some not-so-big countries from a footballing point of view this week.
Hi, Dan, and welcome back, Rory, as well. Yeah, you laugh about that CONCACAF game. I think that's the better of the whole show. but we'll come to that in a bit.
It's a CONCACAF Copa America playoff, which I didn't realise.
We will certainly touch on that soon. But yeah, this is something a bit different. We are away from club football for a bit, and this is one of the weirdest international breaks I've ever known in terms of the layout of it. But you know, as us bettors, we've got to adapt. Some people will be taking 2 weeks off from the betting front. Some people will be wanting to get stuck in more than ever. So we're here to provide some of the best insights for you across this international window.
Yeah, I must admit, Rory, that UEFA are coming for a little bit of stick when it comes to the format for an awful lot of competitions. But I think they've sort of got it right with this. We get some lesser nations who would never have any sort of opportunity to qualify for major finals do get that chance via the various path system that they've introduced over the last couple of Euros. I don't mind this at all. What do you think of it?
No, I mean, I quite like it. I think football for a lot of countries, especially outside of those kind of big eight or nine European nations, I mean, you have kind of a catch chance in hell of getting to these tournaments if it wasn't for the Nations League. Let's not forget that beforehand, these were just endless amounts of pointless friendlies that clubs, international teams, nobody was really interested in them. And now there is a little bit of jeopardy, and these games can be good to watch, even if you don't necessarily have a stake in it, either emotionally or money-wise. They're good to watch. So yeah, I do like the Nations League. I think there's still room for debate in terms of kind of international football, the dates and the way it works format-wise, but that's more FIFA than it is UEFA. And I think with the space they've got, I really like the Nations League.
Lots of goals in European major leagues, as we've talked about, Steve, extensively over the course of this year and last season, for that matter. But maybe the rule of thumb when we get to international football is unders rather than overs. What do you think?
Yes, because teams are a lot more disjointed. The coaches only have a certain window to get to grips with the players. But one thing we've also got to consider, whilst this might be a really important window for certain nations, especially because there's tournaments coming up in the summer, Copa America and obviously Euro 2024. So the managers are desperate to get sort of their final plans in place. But a lot of the players, where are their mindsets going to be at? Because this is now the running for some crunch European leagues and other leagues around the world as well. And you don't want to get injured, do you? Are people going to get stuck in? There's going to be arranged minutes. Clubs are saying you can only play him for 45 minutes. Some players might only be allowed to play uninformally for half an hour. So you've got to be really careful, and you've got to treat each match individually, as always. International football can command a lot of research, but you can get a lot of rewards at the end of it as well.
Competitive games first, we're going to start with, in those Euro playoff games. We've got picks in the vast majority for you. We're going to start, obviously, where else but Tbilisi and Path C, Georgia again. Is it Path C or Path B? I can't remember now. Georgia versus Luxembourg, which is Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Georgia are the minus money favourites here at -112. Luxembourg at +320. Going to be a massive crowd here. It is Path C, because Georgia do get huge crowds for even under 21 football. They are favourites, Rory. They've got one superstar here in Kvaratskhelia, Kvaratskhelia, who's lit up Serie A, of course, over the last couple of seasons. Maybe not so much as he did last season, this. But in terms of real quality, I'm not quite sure what their depth is like. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. I mean, we mentioned kind of just pre-show in the kind of notes, Georgi Mamardashvili, the goalkeeper, is very good for Valencia. He is a real kind of bastion at the back. And for Valencia, he saved a penalty this weekend. He was their man of the match, even though they went down 1-0 to Villarreal. So yeah, I think this Georgia side, they're very much him at the back, Kvaratskhelia going forward. And that is the main kind of how they'll base their side. And I just think this Georgia side, once you have one star player and there's one person to stop, it makes it so much easier for the opposition to shut you down. If you have two or three dual threats, people that can stretch the opposition otherwise, then that's where things really start to get hairy for the opposition with these star players and kind of lesser nations, in inverted commas, football-wise. But Luxembourg aren't facing that. And I think I've watched quite a bit of Georgia over recent years, seemingly Scotland and Georgia have a lot of each other in these draws. And so it's not a side that's blessed with dramatic quality. It's a side that generally in these games is kind of used to sitting back and defending. Whereas Luxembourg, for all of the years that they've spent doing the same thing, they've really kind of come at these sides a little bit more in recent years. They've shown ambition. We've seen a side in Georgia that of their last kind of 8-9 games really haven't won very many. Cyprus is the only side they've really beaten consistently. Macedonia, they've a couple wins over them. But generally, this is a Georgia side that isn't used to winning. Whereas Luxembourg, okay, they conceded 19 goals in 10 games in those qualifiers. But 15 of those were against Portugal. Portugal, obviously, fair enough, great side. And you look at the teams that are maybe similar level to Georgia, Bosnia, the likes of Iceland, they got 4 points against. They did a double over Bosnia. It's a team that I think is facing perhaps its biggest couple of games in its history, a team that could go and do something historic here. And I think they'll go to Georgia with their tails up. I've gone draw no bet here for Luxembourg, +155. I think if Georgia do get this done, it won't be in 90 minutes. And that's where I think Luxembourg will really kind of get some joy. And yeah, I think they'll push them all the way, if not get the job done.
Yeah, I like this. Draw no bet at +155, Luxembourg at Georgia, very much the collective, but they are a decent side going forward. There's no doubt about that. Let's move on to Wales against Finland, Thursday, 3:45 p.m. Eastern time. Wales minus money favourites to beat Finland here. They're -112, Finland +300, draw +240. A little bit off the pace in Group D qualifying, Steve, but they were better last autumn, just judging at their bare results, unbeaten in five after just one success the previous 13. What's the angle in here? What do you like in Wales, Finland?
Well, this is the international show, so it's time for my traditional under bet. And I really like under 2.25 goals here at -115, Dan. When you think of Wales, if I asked you, you know, Wales international football, what are your sort of feelings about it? One word you would not use is exciting, would you? It hasn't been exciting for quite some time. They are often quite a well set up team. I think that most of the players in the Wales squad, apart from Brennan Johnson, the big strength is in defence. I mean, it may as well be Leeds United, actually, half of this team, right? I think there's four players from Leeds in this team. But, I mean, the likes of Ampadu, Joe Rodon have been playing extremely well for Leeds this season. Dan James has had a good year, but really he's all pace. And, you know, he wouldn't always rely on him to finish chances. Finland, I mean, there's that Glenn Kamara, actually, as well. So this is the amount of Leeds players involved in this game is crazy. 60-odd caps for Finland. And another team where the best players are in defence, really. The goalkeeper has had a great year at Leverkusen. Herdaki, I think, is the pronunciation there. You probably know better than me, Dan. I always struggle. There's certain players I always struggle with. And again, you look at Finland, who's going to score their goals now that Pukki's past his sell-by date? You know, I just look at this game and it could be 0-0. You might go all the way extra time, penalties. If someone wins it, it's probably 1-0. If Wales get a goal, they're not the sort of team that's just going to try and push on the accelerator, are they? They never have been. They'll try and get a goal and hold on to it. And Finland would not be good enough to come back. Yeah, I just think it's going to be a fairly dire game. I think there'll be a lot of nerves on show, quite afraid. The winner gets to host the next game, by the way. So it's quite a big dangling carrot, and I think that will add to the pressure of the situation. Yeah, it's going to be a tense one, Dan, and I really am struggling to see how this goes over 2.5 goals, certainly. So, I mean, the goal line of 2.25, we'd win half if there's two goals exactly. But I'm thinking, you know, 0-0 is possible. But knowing Wales, they'll probably get it done 1-0, won't they? We all know how it goes. They'll nick a goal and probably end up qualifying.
Be interesting. I completely agree with you. They're not the most exciting sides, are they, Wales, to watch? And Finland, I think, have certainly dropped off a little bit. So minus 115 for under 2.25 goals. Poland, Estonia next, who will play the winners of Wales, Finland. Poland minus 625, very short price favourites. Again, 3:45 Eastern on Thursday. Rory, you're going to have to give us an explainer here for those that don't know. Estonia played 8 in qualifying Group F, lost 7, drew 1, 0 wins. How on earth are they in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a good question, Dan. It comes back to kind of, there's always a loophole or there's always one team that gets put out as the example of why are we doing this and what's the point of all of this. But in Estonia's case, it's due to a kind of Nations League performance, and it's kind of the overall seedings have somehow got them into this position. But I don't think they're really worth their salt in this position, to be perfectly honest. And against the Poland side that I want to back against this Poland side in general terms, but against Estonia, you just can't do it. I mean, this Estonia side, they've got 2 games in their last 8 they've drawn, one of which was against Thailand. That was one of the
good
two
form.
Games in which, one of which there's 2 goals they've scored in their last 8 games again, one of which was against Thailand. And it's just, they're just not a very good team. They struggle to score big time. I think Poland, they generally have a habit of making life for them hard for themselves. They've got Robert Lewandowski, we all know that, but from those days where we saw kind of Milik and Lewandowski as the two to kind of lead this side forward and become an actual threat, it's just not happened. And they've been flip-flopping between managers. They just got rid of Fernando Santos, who, of course, won the Euros with Portugal. They got rid of Paulo Fonseca a couple of years before that. And so they flip-flop between somebody fashionable who they think looks good and then go back to a Polish manager who's a bit more kind of safe hands. They're in the safe hands zone right now. I think they'll get through this game eventually. The money line here is at minus 132. I was tempted to go over 2.5 goals for that, but I've gone a little bit safer. If I'm pushing the boat out a little bit more with Luxembourg, I want something a little bit safer here. So this is just to keep you ticking over. It's Poland to win 2-0 at minus 148. Yeah, I just don't see Estonia scoring in this match. And Poland, if they don't have enough for this, it will be meltdown in Warsaw.
Yeah, it will be. This is one that's just going to be a professional display. I think 1 or 2-0, no chances taken, and easy through to the final.
Can Polish I just add a couple of things? Just going to add a couple of things, because I think there's going to be significant money for Poland here. You know, at the time of recording, obviously we've got those odds, but I mean, I think this could go down sort of minus 200 territory. The Asian handicap is probably going to be knocking on the door, minus 2.25, minus 2.5. I think it's the right bet, though, because we've got to remember there's another match after this one. If they win it, they're going to be going to Wales or Finland. I don't think they'll rack up the score, is what I'm saying. They'll just, you're right what you say, Dan. Professional job, 2-0, 3-0, very much on the cards. You know, in the words of Simon Holden, I don't think this is going to be a Sergeant Slaughter sort of job. And
what a great line.
Poland win 2-0. Even if the odds do go down, it's a really good piece to add, you know, as sort of a banker or, you know, a parlay piece as well, potentially down the line. So I think we're definitely on the right track here. This is not a fair fight, is it? Let's be honest.
Israel versus Iceland next. I like Israel on the money line at plus 125. I know the game's been played in Budapest, but they've had some good results there. They take on an Iceland side, plus 220, who we've enjoyed watching over the years, but maybe not so much at the moment. But we think, Steve, this one might be a little livelier in terms of goals.
I like Israel as well on the money line, and I nearly went for them, but I prefer over 2.5 goals at minus 105. This is... I mean, Iceland, I've said it before on this show quite a few times, they are not very good anymore. If you look at their recent games in the qualifying campaign, they beat Liechtenstein 11-0 on aggregate, but they lost to near enough everyone else apart from, I mean, they had a win against Bosnia, and Bosnia, as we're going to talk about soon, are not what they once were. You know, they Iceland worry me, especially away from home. And I know this is at a neutral venue. It's in Hungary. And, you know, neutral venues, obviously, it's a lot different to playing away, but they're still on the road. They don't really get any results away from their island base these days. The squad quality is not as good as it used to be. They concede a lot of goals, Dan. That's why I like the overs here. If you look at Iceland's record, again, take out the games against Liechtenstein, you know, teams are really hitting a lot of shots against them, a lot of goals against them. You know, Portugal beat them 2-0 in the last competitive fixture, but that could have been 6 or 7. And even then, it was a dead rubber. So they concede a lot of chances. Israel, I think, listen, I think there's, and I've had this before when I've been dealing with like the Ukrainian clubs and also the Israeli clubs in domestic club football. They're fighting for the country. We all know what's going on in that part of the world. And I think the players sometimes know that there's a lot riding on their shoulders, try and improve mood, give everyone a bit of a lift sort of thing. So I think they're going to be really fired up for this, Israel. They might even be a dark horse to qualify for the actual tournament overall. And I think it's one of those games both teams are just going to go for it. I don't think it's going to be tight. I don't think either team really can defend particularly well. Israel have got better offensive weapons. So, I mean, over 2.5 goals stood out to me, nearly even money. I like both teams score, yes, as well. But that's a much worse price, minus 141. So I've got a feeling, I think someone win this 2-1, 3-1 sort of territory. It's going to be quite an open game. These neutral venues often bring that. You know, there's less of a sort of a pressure and less of an intensity. So, one of those games where I think Israel win, both teams score, yes, could be worth looking at as well for a bit of value. But for the pick for the game for me is over 2.5 goals at minus 105.
One more game in the playoffs to look at. Bosnia-Herzegovina against Ukraine. Again, 3:45 Thursday. Ukraine are short price favourites. I say short, the minus money, just shade odds on, shorter than even money. Bosnia-Herzegovina plus 250. It's one of those, Rory, when I looked at this first of all, I've done a few Bosnia games over the last few years. I thought Bosnia-Herzegovina looked big at 250. And then when you drill down and you see that, or you remind yourself that Ukraine only just missed out on qualifying as a top two finisher in what was a tough group, you tend to think they are the play here, because that form in England's group is probably the best form of any nation involved in these playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the level of competition that Ukraine were trying to qualify against, and you look at the level of competition that Bosnia were trying to qualify against, and it's just a mismatch. And I think that's ultimately how this will work out. I mean, we're talking about Ukraine. We're not talking about a side that's going to dominate in terms of kind of the way a Spain or a Germany would in these kind of games. But they are just better for me in my mind. I've gone Ukraine to win at minus 106. Pretty simple, straight down the middle. That's my bet. If you want to push that out a little bit more, over 1.5 goals, if you put that on with Ukraine, that's plus 155 right now. I think that's pretty reasonable too. But yeah, Bosnia, I mean, Steve mentioned them there. They won 3 games throughout that qualifying round. Liechtenstein was responsible for 2 of them. A poorer Iceland side was responsible for another one. Whereas, yeah, that Ukraine side, I mean, I see a lot of kind of Dovbyk and Sigankov in Spain as well right now. They've got quite a few sort of quality pieces up front, especially on their day. Mudryk, we know, has maybe not been quite the impressive signing that Chelsea had hoped, but he's still got a lot of quality.
Yeah, I think he's playing better as well. They've started to play him almost like behind the strikers as number 10 the last few games. I think they're happier with him at the moment. Obviously, he didn't really start particularly well, but they have got talent, as you mentioned, in Spain as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at Bosnia side, I mean, this is a Bosnia side that made the World Cup. It's a side that has been good over recent years, but now you look at it and it's an aging Kolasinac, it's an aging Pjanic, an aging Dzeko, who's 38 now. Still, players that have technical quality, but if you're asking them to compete at the top level against a younger, fitter, more battle-hardened Ukraine side, I just see Ukraine as clear favourites. And I'm almost surprised that they're quite so short here. So yeah, I could see Ukraine taking a lot of money in the coming days as well. So perhaps one to go earlier rather than later with this one.
Steve, you got any thought on the match betting for this one?
Initially, when I looked at the fixture, I was like, you know, Bosnia, tough place to go. Like your reputation and history. But then I looked at the actual stats and the results, and this Bosnia side isn't what it once was. Ukraine do have, you know, a lot more quality. And again, they're fighting for the country, Dan. Same thing with Israel. Don't underestimate that. I think it can often give a bit more. And, this is a bit cynical of me, but it wouldn't shock me if they got the odd decision or two in their favour as well. So, I think ultimately, I think Rory's on the right side here. And, Bosnia just really declined. It's a worry. It's a worry.
There isn't a next generation, I don't think, with Bosnia-Herzegovina. I think they had that really, you know, Dzeko led them for a long time, still does, and there's not too much underneath it now that's coming through. Just very quickly, because BetRivers do have prices on path winners, path A, B and C, so this is to make the European Championships effectively here. Just quickly, get your guys' thoughts. Path A is Poland, Wales, Finland, Estonia, Poland are the favourites, even money. Wales plus 150, Finland plus 450, Estonia a 40-1 shots. Rory, who'd you like in path A?
My one here is to look at that Poland-Estonia game. If Poland look like they have for the last 5, 6, 7 months, poor but just about good enough to beat Estonia, get on Wales or Finland for that one. Yeah. At least get on the Asian handicaps. I probably have to just about go Poland. I mean, I think it's very hard to see past a lot of these favourites in these paths.
Yeah. Steve, who'd you like?
Well, if Estonia get through, I'll get an Estonia shirt and wear it on the next show. No, 40-1. You'd need like 400-1, wouldn't you? I mean, that's not happening. Wales is my pick. They always have a knack of qualifying, don't they? Yeah. One way or the other, even if they don't play that well. Plus 150 to me. Poland are not that great. If it is Wales against Poland, and I think it will be, then I'd be looking at probably an under again, or maybe a Wales handicap.
Well, we'll get to that, of course, next week when we preview the finals. Just quickly, though, on path B and C. Steve, any thoughts? So we've got Ukraine as the favourites in path B, with Bosnia and Israel around about plus 350 here, Iceland plus 450. And then group C, Greece are the favourites here. We've not really talked about them. Plus 110, Georgia plus 200, Luxembourg plus 350, Kazakhstan, a 10-1 shots to make the European Championships. Give us a couple of nations each from those two paths. Steve first.
Yes.
We don't have to.
It's got to be Ukraine, I think, but I don't like the price. I think evens is a bit
Ukraine,
a
most
price.
Likely, but
yeah,
not
they're
prices.
A poor price. And then, do you know what? You laugh at this, but Kazakhstan at 10-1, you could do worse. Like, seriously, I think they're not that bad a side.
They're away and away. That's the problem, aren't they? I think they're away, and then they'll be away for the final.
The handicap is plus 1.25 against Greece. I nearly took that. I think Kazakhstan, Greece could be, in different ways, the value pick in this market.
Rory, a couple of nations, there might be one from path B. Who do you think might qualify, and same for C, or are the prices about right for you?
Price is about right for me, maybe a little bit short on those favourites, but I think there's no clear kind of alternative candidates for these. I'd go Greece as well. I mean, Greece, if they weren't at home against Kazakhstan, I think I'd kind of be more on Steve's line of thinking, but Gaspar has actually got some decent results out of them. And if you look at kind of a solid, hardworking Greece side with a slightly more flexible manager, then perhaps that's where the work is being done there for them. And they've got a few good results. I think they beat Germany quite recently too. So
yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah, I think it's difficult. Your eyes are drawn with the favourites, but you know there's going to be one surprise to make it through to the European Championship finals. Path betting is available on the BetRivers site and on the app. One more competitive game to look at, and then we've got some friendlies that will rattle through. A competitive game, first of all, with Steve. I didn't even know this existed. When you put Canada versus Trinidad and Tobago in the WhatsApp group, I thought, well, is that a CONCACAF Nations League game? Is it a World Cup qualifier? Is it a Gold Cup qualifier? And then having half an hour Googling, it's the Copa America playoff. I have no idea why this exists, Steve. Do you know why?
Yes, this is a big game. The winner of this game will be playing in the opening fixture of the Copa America this summer against Argentina. So the stakes are really high. Now, to actually qualify for this tournament in the CONCACAF region, they decided it on the Nations League stuff. And Canada lost out to Jamaica in the autumn. Bit of a shock defeat, really. Mexico nearly had to enter this playoff round as well, ridiculously, but they managed to turn around a deficit in their game. So the stakes are really high. I mean, Canada do not want to be missing out on this tournament. This is a big deal for them. And the match is going to be played in Dallas. It's a neutral venue. There's actually got back-to-back games, actually. We've got this one, and then I think we've got Costa Rica against Honduras. Yeah, back-to-back these are. So we will get the final lineup for the Copa America. I really like over 2.5 goals at minus 118. I can't believe this goal line is so low. When you think about it, Canada are minus 400 favourites here. So they're expected to win well. But even if they win to nil, I think it could be a really big win for them potentially. If you think about the dynamics of soccer in North America and Europe, in North America, it's a lot about the entertainment business, Dan, even in games like this. Whereas in Europe, it'd be you can get some, like the Wales game. Hopefully, it's a tense, tight one. They just go for it out there in North America. You know what I mean? It's about scoring goals, putting bums on the seats. Everyone's happy, want to make a statement sort of thing. So Canada, they won't just want to win. They'll want to really win well. Really young squad named for this. Just one player over 30. We've got an interim manager in Mauro Biello. I've seen his sides play before. Montreal Impact back in the day. Really wide open. Like, this guy just wants to attack, score goals. And Trinidad and Tobago have got a player in their ranks, Levi Garcia, who plays for AK Athens. He's worth 12 million on Transfermarkt. Okay. He scored 12 goals in 12 appearances this season. He's in the squad. Now, I wouldn't put it past him to score for Trinidad and Tobago. Canada have got Jonathan David.
I was about to say, is Jonathan David in the squad?
Yeah, David. Alfonso Davies should play. Took a blow to the face, I think, in his recent match, but he should play. You know, Stephen
Eustáquio.
It's not a bad squad. Look, I can't believe there's no way this goal line kicks off over 2.5 minus 118, Dan. I think it will go to like an over 3 goal line, and I would still take that because the playoffs in this CONCACAF region have been wild. They've been full of goals. I think there's going to be full of goals still. Canada should make it through. I'm thinking along the lines of like 3-1, something like that. It'd be a good watch, this, and a really important game. So hopefully we can get the goals flowing. Over 2.5 at minus 118.
Friendlies to look at. First up, England versus Brazil. This is Saturday, 3:45 for Eastern. Huge game for the supporters, certainly at Wembley. England are even money favourites. Brazil plus 250, draw plus 250 at the moment. Is the biggest friendly of the weekend, Steve. Fans are going to love it. But how serious will Gareth Southgate take it, do you think?
But are they going to love it, Dan? I mean,
Fans love it because it's Brazil. Every football fan likes Brazil. What do you want?
Apart from maybe Steve.
Apart from Steve.
You're not travelling down
to the capital then to watch this one, Steve. You're not going to be flicking on ITV on
Saturday night. Because do you know what? I can tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to put like Twitter or X, as it's known now, all the social media, Facebook, the lot. After this match is finished, it's going to be like, what was the point of that game? That was awful. Southgate, get out. We don't need him. Boring, boring, boring. What's the point of his international window? I know how it goes. So I'm going to go against sort of the reputation here of the teams and take under 2.5 goals at minus 102, Dan. I think it's going to be a drab game. I don't think either team is going to particularly want to lose it. I don't think either team's going to want to show that much intensity. I mean, I said earlier, there's some really big, valuable players here wanting to protect themselves ahead of the next few months. You know, we're looking at a lot of changes being made in the game. I reckon it'll be a bit of a pedestrian pace at times. Yeah, there'll be moments where the players, like the managers, will kind of force them to sort of raise it for certain periods and all that. You know, Vinny Jr. might have like an explosive run, maybe even a goal somewhere, but I think this could be a damp squib. And, you know, it feels like the sort of game, actually. It's like 1-1 wouldn't surprise me. Do you know what I mean? 1-1 with 10, 15 minutes to go. No one's that bothered about winning it. So there's a lot of these international friendlies that I'll be looking at unders for in this window, Dan, because I just don't think the intensity is going to be there. from the players, especially with the high-profile nations.
I'm always reticent to ask Rory Proud Scott about an England game, but I may as well, because Steve mentioned Vinny Jr. Rafinha. There's a few La Liga-based Brazilians, certainly from an attacking point of view, that are probably going to get some sort of game time. I'm not quite sure about Dorival Jr., the new Brazil coach. They were pretty poor in World Cup qualifying in the autumn, but I mean, they still will qualify because pretty much the whole continent makes it through to the World Cup these days. Any sort of ins, any thoughts? I mean, with those Real Madrid players, Barcelona players, I mean, will the coaches say, look, you're only going to play 20 minutes? Has there been any thought, any news from Spain about those superstars, whether they're going to play in England or not?
Well, Vinicius Jr.'s got about a month off now because he's got himself suspended with a fifth yellow card for the booking. So he will in theory be able to play a little bit more. On the other hand, Jude Bellingham has done the same thing for also getting suspended for protesting profusely against the referees. So yeah, I think both of them will be pretty fresh and ready to go. I kind of like England here, to be honest. I don't think it'll be low.
Clip that up. High. Clip it up. Show it to Rory's friends and family.
You'll ruin me, Dan. You'll ruin me.
You'll never be able to go back to Scotland ever again.
but yeah, I think England will probably win this game. I think it'll be narrow. Again, perhaps one to cash out on, depending on those last kind of few minutes. Because I think, as Steve says, the intensity won't be here. And just one slight kind of tidbit, Brazil, when things are going wrong, tend to hunker down and start fouling people. That is the kind of de facto modus operandi when things are not going well for Brazil. So yeah, perhaps when they just need to not lose, they might try and break the game up.
Yeah, I cards are a strange one with friendlies, but sometimes something can just click in the match and it might just end up, you know, being over. So I don't know what the line is.
Do you know what? I think it's, again, we've said this before, it's a pretty poor Brazil squad, isn't it? Especially with, you know, the injuries. I mean, I think both keepers are out as well. But every time
Edison's in the squad, but Alisson isn't. But Edison is injured at the moment. So
but every time I've looked at this Brazil squad for the last 2 years, I've thought, blimey, that's... I think it's because I've been used to growing up seeing unbelievable Brazil squads and teams. So maybe it's just an era where their better players are more gritty in a way. I mean, there's some good. I mean, Gabriel's had a great season for Arsenal, for example.
It's cruel to be kind, Steve.
Do you know what I mean? Though it's just, I in a way, it's a bit disappointing because I've loved Brazil over the years, but it's just this team does not excite me anymore. And you know, the less said about England, the better that way as well. But yeah, I think we 1-0 England, maybe that could be a call here.
Yeah,
as well.
I think unders might be the call. I mean, Brazil's interesting. You ask anyone under 21 if they've seen Brazil win the World Cup, and the answer has to be no. I mean, it's a generation ago since they last lifted.
That is an official pick. Just want to confirm that is an official pick.
That's an official, but you like unders.
Yeah.
Unders is
under 2.5 goals -102.
A couple of other friendlies before we wrap up. I've got to ask Rory about Scotland. They're away at the Netherlands. This is 3:45 on Friday. I mean, are things still buoyant with Steve Clarke? Obviously, those great results against Spain, and one in particular, to qualify in second in Group A. Things still going well, still buoyant. I mean, they are +600, so 6-1 to win away at the Netherlands. So I thought they were a little bit unlucky to get knocked out of the World Cup the way they did. What's your thoughts on Scotland, Rory?
Yeah, I mean, I think the atmosphere is so good under Steve Clarke, and I think people have total faith in him, to be honest. They had a couple of heavier friendly defeats, and I think for me, if Scotland against a bigger nation in a friendly is one to stay well away from, I think you're looking at Netherlands or kind of goal lines, that kind of thing here, because, yeah, I mean, Scotland, one of their greatest virtues is the fact that they compete so well, the fact that they're so miserly and so committed, and in a friendly, you take out a lot of those elements, particularly if Clarke wants to experiment. He's not a manager that tends to shuffle the pack too much, but he might have three or four doubts, especially up front, as to who he wants to take in that squad for the Euros. So yeah, I'd say the Netherlands are one to look at. You're looking at seeing Gabe Parlays here, basically. I think if you want to go Netherlands under 3.5, that's not bad shouts. And yeah, just don't back Scotland to get a result on this one, because
this is great. We've got some brilliant clips of Rory saying, I like England, don't back Scotland. We could mesh them together. Steve, very quickly on this one, any thoughts, or should we move on?
I think the Dutch are always a little bit more inclined to take friendly seriously. I don't know, is that maybe like a reputation thing, but I think they're a bit more serious about it. You know, Rory will know more about how Scotland approach the friendlies. And again, though, I think I probably would be looking on the under sort of lines if I could.
Spain, Colombia to wrap things up, sort of. Spain around about -200, a little bit shorter. Colombia 6-1-ish. Thoughts on this one, Rory? What's the feeling in Spain at the moment? Is this a friendly that they're not interested in? Is the coach going to blood some new young players? I mean, they're obviously going to be one of the favourites for the European Championships. They qualified in that group with Scotland. What's the feeling at the minute in Spain?
Yeah, I think this could be an interesting one because Spain are missing quite a few players. Pedri and Gavi are out. There's going to be a few absences. I think De La Fuente will shuffle the back a little bit as well. They're missing Brahim. That's been the big story all week. I think maybe not necessarily goals galore, but the overs and the unders might be one to look at closer to the time as well, because I think overs for this one is probably where you want to look at, because the way Spain have this size and the way that they're going to set it out is with more players that like to play kind of vertical football. That's Alex Baena from Villarreal, Dani Vivian from Athletic Club, Oyan Sanset, another one. So I think this will be quite back and forth. Nico Williams is another one, obviously. Lamine Yamal, players that like to really go and run at defences and big spaces. And Colombia, similarly, I think we'll think, right, okay, we'll sit back and try and break on you. So I think it could be quite back and forth this game. I think De La Fuente, I have my scepticism over them. But things are kind of going well for Spain, so I think they'll play quite free and easy in this match.
And one of the games that we're going to mention with the boys is one that you want to talk about, Steve. I think this is Uruguay. Who are they playing?
Me and you were sort of joking in the build-up to this window. You were like, oh, what do you fancy here, Steve? And I was like, whoever Uruguay are facing, I'll blindly take their overs. And then I looked who they've got Ivory Coast later on in this window, and then a very interesting game coming up this weekend against the Basque country. Now, a lot might hear that and sort of laugh and joke around, but this is actually serious business. The Basque country will take this match very seriously. Not obviously known as an official FIFA nation, but from the northern region of Spain, they've drafted in a La Liga manager to take charge of them. Osasuna boss is going to be in charge. The squad will not be that bad at all. And it's their first game in 4 years. So, I mean, this is typical Bielsa, isn't it? That he would sort of allow Uruguay to be involved in such a fixture. I mean, I think it'll be a good game, you know. I mean, there's no odds yet available.
There will be. Somewhere there will be closer to time.
Get on the overs for this game. I don't know what the line will be. It might be high. But I think even like 3.5 goal line, because Bielsa's in this game for entertainment. I'm telling you that. Entertainment, football purity, and both sides will go for it. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to be a tight 0-0 or 1-0. The fans will be entertained. There's going to be a lot of pride at stake from both nations as well. Bielsa will make sure you guys take this seriously. So watch out for when the odds come available. Get on the overs for this one.
Rory, Basque country, are they any good?
I mean, they've got a talent pool that is very good. I mean, they're supplying a little bit too much of Spain for my liking, to be honest, because if they had all of their squad, it'd be I'd maybe back them to get the result here. But seeing as they don't, I think Uruguay probably quite heavy favourites. So same game parlays for the overs as well. It's just Bielsa. Bielsa's back in the Basque country because he was obviously Athletic Club manager a long, long time ago. So he got a hero's reception back at San Mamés, and he's very much beloved there, and I think this will only increase his stardom. I mean, he's beloved everywhere he goes, isn't he?
This is a big deal for the Basque country, right, though. They're not just going to... This is not just like a game, is it? There's a lot of pride. There's going to be quite a big crowd probably for this one. I think it's in Bilbao, isn't it? It's going to be played.
Yeah, so, I think it's Saturday night.
We bang up for it.
Cheaper tickets. I think people will turn out for it. I mean, no reason not to, and especially with Bielsa's Uruguay. That's quite an attractive team, whereas quite often it tends to be the Jamaicas and the Luxembourgs of this world that tend to get drawn against or will accept these games against Catalonia or the Basque country.
I was going
to
say, surely it's like other non-FIFA affiliate countries. I don't know, like like Jersey or someone.
Jersey and...
or the Falkland Islands, I don't know, or Isle of Man.
Some of the more left field,
They don't have a bad record, you know. The Basque country have won quite a lot of games. They don't play often. And it's usually against someone like Costa Rica or something, but they don't have a bad record. So this is
Costa Rica
really
get to World Cups as well, though.
Yeah. that it's going to be, I hope to catch a stream for this somewhere because it's going to be a good one.
Well, look out for the odds. Somebody somewhere will have them, I'm sure. Just before we wrap up, let's get some best bets. Talked about quite a few games. Obviously, the competitive fixtures are where most of our plays are in. Steve, what's your best bet over the course of the first tranche of international games and Euro qualifiers and so on?
Yeah, it's the CONCACAF play-in round. Canada versus Trinidad and Tobago over 2.5 goals. And I would even bet on a goal line as high as 3 for this game.
Rory, what's your favoured play?
Yep, I'm going Ukraine to beat Bosnia at -106. My favourite bet is the Luxembourg one, but Ukraine is my best one.
That wraps up Betting Weekly Extra Time International Edition. Plenty to go at globally. Stay across all of our content on our YouTube channel. Many thanks to Steve and Rory, who'll both be back for the finals of those Euro 2024 playoffs and more international picks from all of us. For now, though, it's goodbye.